The topic we're talking about tonight is what we spoke about last time, but which I didn't explain it so very well. So I'm just going over it today, trying to explain it better. This is what it is. We're trying to understand the difference, what the Rebbe has been telling us. In other words, we had a quote. We brought a quote from Tzamach Vav, Shlila Sachil, Shlila Sashlila. That was a quote from Tzamach Vav. And then we have the Rebbe who says that the Ibish is above that. Right?
Yes.
So now...
Something we cannot grasp, therefore we satisfy with the Shlila with the Shlila.
We satisfy with what?
With what it is, what it is not. That's as much as we could go.
Very good, very good, very good. Now, so just to bring it out here, bring it out exactly here, but at the few more quotes, we have to bring out exactly what is being said. So they have the first quote here, which is actually very simple. You have a line number two. Here they have the sitter here. The Rebbe is explaining the three madregas. And these are the three madregas which we're discussing now. The first madrega is on line number two to number four. First paragraph is when Yid goes on Mesiris Nefesh, right? Now what happens when Yid goes on Mesiris Nefesh? So the Rebbe explains it very clearly. This is coming from Tanya. That a Yid has his feelings, he has his emotions and everything, and what comes to the moment they want to force him to serve a Beit Zara, he goes on Mesiris Nefesh. So at that point, what he's actually doing, he's overlooking his seichel. So the Rebbe writes it very clearly that here he's not really affecting his seichel; he's just giving himself over, and despite his seichel may want to remain alive. So he's not thinking, not considering any calculations, and he's going to give himself over. So that is bittul. That is shlilis. This is what we're going to call soon is shlilis rechiv. Why? Because I feel myself as existence, and I'm being mevatel myself. So what am I being? I'm being mevatel. I'm being mevatel my existence. That is shlilis rechiv, right? That should be pretty simple. Right. Wonderful. Now let's go over to line five, number six, five and six. Here the Rebbe says. The mysterious nefesh, the nekuda of his yadus, which is, let's say the mysterious nefesh, is actually affects his koyches pnimim, actually affects his seichel. But, how did it affect the seichel? That the seichel consciously feels that what he's being affected is not on his own accord, is because his yiddish and neshama is affecting him. He has his neshama, which is affecting him. Now, where is the normal example of this? This is when you learn chassidus. What happens when you learn chassidus? You learn chassidus by ein eibul vaday. Ein eibul vaday is nothing besides Eibishter. And you actually absorb this information with your seichel. And your seichel and your midas come inspired. But when your seichel and midas come inspired, they're very clearly aware the reason why they're getting inspired because there is the nekuda which is the ma'ilem ha-seichel. The nekuda of the neshama, the nekuda of the mesiris nefesh, the nekuda of emunah, which is above the seichel, which we are connecting with when we learn chassidus, and that is affecting my seichel to be inspired. So when we're learning chassidus, we're talking about something which is above seichel, and we're actually taking the information with our seichel, but we're very clearly aware that the fact that we are accepting this with our seichel is because the koyach of chassidus, the koyach of emuna, the koyach of etzem neshama, which is above seichel, which is affecting our seichel, right? Mm-hmm. No, that's very good. Now, here the third madrega. This third madrega is this is what we're trying to discuss. This third madrega. Why? The bab was about why? What is this? This is, Rebbe said, the seichel on its own accord comes to the same conclusion as an asham. Now, this is really something beyond everything. It's not what we're regularly learning. And this is the nekuda which the Rebbe is pushing, that your seichel on its own accord comes to the same conclusion as the neshama. Which that really is very hard to understand. The cheder doesn't make any sense in logically. Why should our seichel come on its own accord to identify with the neshama? Seichel and neshama are two separate entities, right? So this is what we're going to be learning in the other sheet. How the seichel actually comes on its own good to identify with the shaman. And that is the madrega which is above shlilis ha-shlila. Because the three madregas we have here are parallel to shlilis ha-chiv, shlilis ha-shlila, and above shlilis ha-shlila. Fine, and now, so this is the third one, is above Shlita, the one we're focusing on, the one which the Rebbe sort of brings out, right? Fine, wonderful. So now, that, now, we're now going to give example. Here we come to the Sikha, this is the Sikha here, on line 9 and onwards, the Sikha of Erev Parshas Nitzavim, Yedev Tov Shemem Tes, which is when the Rebbe spoke about this union of Shlita, and above that. So this is the sikha where the Rebbe spoke about it, and he explained the whole subject at great length. And later on, he repeated, the Tav Shemem Tes, and later on, the Tav Shemem Nod, he carried on, he added emphasis to it, etc., etc. So here, what he says over here. So he, again, on line 13, he's taking here the typical situation of Mesiras Nefesh. What is the typical situation of Mesiras Nefesh? That I'm a human person over here, and I'm subjecting myself to the HaKadosh, right? I'm subjecting myself to the Eibishter. I'm consciously aware of myself, and because I'm committed to Yiddishkeit, I'm going to be most of a nefesh myself to the Eibishter. So that is like a regular eved who is bottled to his master. The eved subjects himself, gives, ignores himself, and dedicates, commits himself to his master, right? Here on line 16 and 17 starts a new thing. Here the Rebbe says, what happens if this Eved is actually standing in front of the king? What happens when the moment he's standing in front of the king, he doesn't have to subject himself. He's automatically subjected. He loses himself, okay? So that is the two. Now we have here the example of Shlita Sakhiv and Shlita Sachlita. Shlita Sakhiv is when I'm an independent person, I'm committing myself to the king. I'm not in front of the king, I'm who knows where, and I'm committing myself to the king, to go Mesiras Nefesh to the king, whatever, to be a slave of the king. Fine. So I'm a Metzias, and I'm being mevatel myself, I'm being committing myself to the king. That is Shlilis Hachiyot. What is Shlilis Hachiyot? Shlilis Hachiyot when I'm standing right in front of the king. When I'm standing in front of the king, I'm not consciously subjecting myself, I'm not even aware of my subjection. I do it, it's done automatically. So even the Mesiras Nefesh here is also dismissed. Shlila so shlila. It's done, it's a natural reaction, it's a natural thing, a natural reaction that I lose myself in front of the king. So there's no even tnua of shlila over here. There's no tnua of shlila. It's shlila so shlila, right? Fine. Now, here the Rebbe goes on to the next madrega. This is the third madrega. What we want to say over here, what we bring out. This is on lines 26 to 30. What happens when you have someone stand at the front of the king, and the king is there, so he is captured by the king. He loses himself in front of the magnificence of the king. He doesn't feel himself in Matthias at all. That is Shlita Sashlita. But what would happen if that person, when he's in front of the king, despite the fact that he's nothing in compared to the king, he is fully active to do exactly what the king tells him. Let's say the king will tell him, go and do this and this. He will do it with a full chayas, even though the cheder, he's completely laid flat in front of the king. He loses himself. Nevertheless, all his chushim and koikos work at full force, and he fulfills what the king does. So here at this point, this is the point which we're saying that is above Shlila Sashlila. Shlila Sashlila is when I lose myself in front of the king, right? I lose myself without even being mavatal myself. Shlila Sashlila is when I consciously mavatal myself. Shlila Sashlila, I lose myself without being mavatal myself. Now what we're talking about, which has no description to it, that I'm in front of the king and I'm totally lost, and nevertheless I'm consciously working with my, going to do everything what the king says with the fullest perfection, etc., etc. So that is above. So this would be the same as the three madrigas we said before. Okay, the same. Fine. Now let's go over to. Fine. Now let's go over to. Here, we have this on line 10. Page 2, line 10. So here the Rebbe is telling the story. Shabbat Pasuk Kerev Toshin Yon Aleph. The Rebbe is storming about Mashiach. So the Rebbe tells the story how by a chosid, the Teb of the world has no, the Tether world does not stand in his way. He does not stand in his way at all. And this is what he's telling over here. This is what's the story of the Chassid. He was in Russia. And when the policeman asked him, what, who's going? He said, Kot idiot. Bittel is going. So look how the Rebbe explains it on 14 to 15. On 14 to 15. The Rebbe says here, when he told this to the policeman, he said it in Russian. And he impacted the policeman. I mean, the policeman saw that this chassid is, you know, is, you can't communicate with him. He's in his thing. And, you know, trying to make a conversation with him is not going to work. He is in his thing. So, he actually had impact on the Teva of the world. So this would be the end of Shlita Sashlita. What does that mean? That not only this chassid here didn't go on a serious nefesh. The normal serious nefesh is when we have a challenge, which something goes against us, so we have to overcome it with serious nefesh. Here the policeman asks him, where are you going? So there's no need for him to ignore the policeman and answer where, the way he answered. But the policeman had no existence for him. The material world didn't have any existence. So answered spontaneously, Bittel's going. That is Shlita Sashlita. He's not consciously being mavat to the policeman. It was Shlita Sashlita. Now that's in Russia. Now that I was saying, here in line 16, I can ask if the Rebbe is here, we're demanding here in this sikha, the Rebbe is demanding that we should affect the Teva of the world with our inspiration about Mashiach, with our Bittel. How can you do that? What are the people in the world going to say? See what the Rebbe is doing here? This chassid, the Rebbe said clearly, actually affected the world around him. But remember, when he affected the world around him, he didn't actually come from the perspective of the world. The policeman just realized that he can't do anything, right? He was affected to realize that.
It's not like the world.
Huh?
Why are you comparing this one policeman to the whole world?
Yeah, okay. So the Rebbe is making this, okay, fine. So raises a question. If you want to affect the whole world, you can't just ignore the whole world like that chassid would. You're going to have to work along with the world. So here we need a higher madrega of Bittel. What do we need? Here we need a third madrega to work and according to the world the world on its own accord should come to align with us, not by just being a battle of the world, right? So that what the Rebbe says, and nowadays, if you will look, you see that the world today is ready to work along with you. Right? That's what the Rebbe says. The world is ready, so therefore you can spread the message of Mashiach. You have it on lines 24, 25. The world is ready to work. You'll see the goyim are ready to work. So what is the Rebbe telling us? Here the Rebbe is actually telling us. So once upon, the Rebbe is telling us, Hasidim always, the world in them, if the world in the eyes of the Chassid was the way the Chassid saw it. The world is part of Elokus, and this is what the Chassid did. This is what he impressed on the policeman. You should know that your Matthias, for me, is just part of whatever I choose it to be. You don't have any. You don't have any value. You are what I choose you to be. That is Shlita Sashlita. That was done spontaneously without thinking. Consciously probably wouldn't be necessary to do. He did it without thinking. There's the world. The Matthias of the world goes according to the Eibishter, according to the Chassid. Now we're talking about we have to get the world on its own accord to go align with citizens, to align with Mashiach. So therefore, the Rebbe says that the world is today also ready for that. So what is the Rebbe now engaging? Now the Rebbe is engaging the Madrega, which is above Shlita Sashlita. Right? What is the Madrega of above Shlita Sashlita? That the negative element independently goes along with me. Right? So now, let's just take this, let's go to line 30. We'll take this example, and the Rebbe explains it. Rebbe thinks about Yom Yisrael Mashiach. This is a very nice example. Here the Rebbe is talking about, he brings here from Hemshech Terab, that we're going to be Gilui Elokus, Yom Yisrael Mashiach, right? What? It's all the way in line 30.
No, I was trying to figure out the year, but it's not.
No, that's the page, the page number. Okay. So the Rebbe is, Rebbe's bringing it down there, look at the Sifis. He brings it down there. And then Mashiach comes, the whole world is going to be saturated with the Likus. So this is the vort of Terab. And Terab is emphasizing, not that the world, the world as Teva. Teva is going to be saturated with the Likus. So this would be the highest Madreik of the Bittel. The actual Teva itself is going to be saturated with the Likus. And this is what he says over here in line 31. That the nevuah means the gilui lekus, is going to be a natural thing. Just like we see the mitzvahs of this gashmi as an, we see it as an existence. So the same thing, gilui lekus will also be the same, will accept gilui lekus with our natural faculties. So gilui lekus will have the same status, the same to us as today the mitzvahs of gashmi, as our chushim of gashmi. So lechayda, this would be the complete fulfillment of the Dira Tachtonim, the full revelation of the Lakus.
Isn't that the Dira Tachtonim in the time of Golos is more pressure than in the time of Mashiach?
So what we're going to get to, this is what we get to. That is the Kvetch, which the Rebbe, or, well, that is true, but it's not this, yes. But let's not, I don't, let's, yes. Golos, there is an element. The Etzem is in Golos. But here we're talking about, the Etzem is in Golos, right?
Right.
The Gilui is in Zman HaGula. But here we're talking about the Gilui of Elokus. Okay. She's saying the Gilui Elokus will be in Zman HaGula, and it's going to really saturate the whole world. So that the Chaylevi, and it's very emphasized very clearly, it's going to be a natural thing. We're not going to identify with Elokus with our neshama. No, with our natural faculties, we will identify with Elokus. Right? So the Chaylevi, you have the fullest revelation of Elokus. We couldn't expect higher, yeah? So here the Rebbe says, "Could the sikhas scale design?" He brings that down, and he says, "No, that is not sufficient. Why? Because why is the sikhal being saturated with the lakus? Because of the lakus, you read it on lines 5 to 7. It's because the lakus has permeated the mitzvahs akashmi, and therefore the mitzvahs akashmi is saturated with the lakus. So where is it coming from? It's coming from the neshama." This is like this chosid who affected the policeman, because he is inspiration for the course, and he included the policeman in his inspiration, he affected the policeman with his inspiration. It was coming from the chosid. But the Rebbe says, the shleim is a gil of loss of love, is when the world on its own accord is going to come to identify with the lakus. This revelation of the lakus has to come from the world on its own, from its own self. This is what we said before in Madrega Gimel, that the seichel on its own accord comes to identify with nefesh elokis. Mm-hmm. Now this point, about the seichel on its own, coming to identify with the nefesh elokis, this is what is above shlila sashlila, right? Mm-hmm. And there is no description for it. This is a word, why? Because we're talking about something which is two opposites, right? So as long as you're giving prominence, preference to one thing over the other thing, you say this is so great that it completely captures the second thing. This object is so great that it completely captures the second thing. So you're saying that this object outdoes the second object. He was saying, no, both objects are independent. And nevertheless, this object, which is negating the first object, is going to go along with it. So really, there is no description to it. It's just chibur of two hopchim. And that is what we're going to be speaking about here. And that's going to be speaking about the next year, where the Rebbe brings out in Seichel, how Seichel goes along with Elokus. So now we have the example, which we've learned many times, which we're finishing right now. This is an example, which just shows the same thing. You'll see the same halach in this example. Here, when you learn about that we have to make an effort, in order to receive our pranasa, right?
Right. A lot of effort.
Okay. Let's say that. So the Rebbe Rashab says here on line 17 to 20, the Emotion Mashiach, you're not going to have to put in any effort. There's not going to be any ishtadlis. All our needs will come down from above, right? So it says there's no ishtadlis loss of loving. Here, in the Kutasichas, Chedek HaVov, in lines 21 to 24, the Rebbe brings down from the Rebbe Rashab a similar thing. Also, this is also from the Rebbe Rashab, that at a time when a person sees that things are going better than he could expect, then he should not get involved, he should leave it to Hashem, and let Hashem work it out for him. He should not do any ishtadlis, right? Because then the Rebbe comes and says, this is what the Rebbe says in the same sikh, on lines 25 to 27, that made the talk of the kvon is not that the teva should lose itself. Again, when you're talking about shlila sashlila, what happens is, the power of the lakus is so great, the power of the chos is so great that he consumes the mitzis of Olam Hazeh. Here we're talking about not that the teva should be consumed, the matori is not that the teva should be consumed by the lakus, but that a person should, b'teva, make a keli, his teva should go along with the lakus, and therefore he should make a keli. So therefore, the Rebbe says, even when a person sees where things are going beyond his expectations, and the cheder, at that point, it says in Terab, that you should leave it for the Eibishter and not get involved. The Rebbe says, get involved, but be aware that it's not your involvement that is doing it. It's the Eibishter which is that is doing it. It's just the Eibishter wanted you to get involved. So what happens here? You have both things together. You're getting involved, and at the same time, you're aware that it's coming from the Eibishter, even though you're making a keli and you're doing the shtadlis. And the Rebbe says, that is the tachlis hakavana. And then we have the same thing. The Rebbe says, when you get to your Moshe Mashiach, this we learned several times from 9:32 till the end, where the Rebbe says, even though it said in the Rambam says there's not going to be any, the Moshe Mashiach, and it says in Kuntres Mayan also that the Oslobid is not going to be any Hishtadlis. It's going to come and go from above. Nevertheless, the Rebbe says, there will be some Hishtadlis. There will be some Hishtadlis. Why the Rebbe is saying there will be some Hishtadlis? Because the Rebbe is going following his Shita, that the Tachlis is that the world itself should go along with the Hebishtah. Mm-hmm. And therefore you need the Hishtadlis. You need the Hishtadlis. The reason why it's going to be some and not a lot is not, the Rebbe doesn't say some. It says it's going to be without effort. The reason why it's going to be without effort, because we're going to be following exactly what Hashem says, and therefore we're going to be much more successful in what we are doing. But we're still going to be doing our Hishtadlis. So now what do we see from here? The way that Rebbe Shammah explains it, that what the Likus actually captures the world, and therefore therefore the Moshe Mashiach is going to be, there's a Likus, get a Likus, so of course there's going to be Hashbar B'Gashmis, why do you need your Hishtadlis? Now the Rebbe is saying, no, you Moshe Mashiach, there's going to be get a Likus, so you are going to do your Hishtadlis, I mean you're going to be logically calculating how to run your business, yeah, you're going to have your cell phone, etc., etc., and you're just going to be aware that it's all coming from Hashem, right? So this is, here again, we see the Nekuda Gimel, that what is the Nekuda Gimel? That which is above Shlita Sashlita, that the Eibishter, the Etzem, which is above any description, yeah, it doesn't nullify your existence. If you're talking about the Eibishter with a certain description, the only way me, as a Niver, can identify with the Eibishter is by nullifying my Metzias.
Right.
Here we're talking about the Eibishter as above my any description, above Shlita Sashlita, so therefore what, at that point, I, as independent existence, can go along with Eibishter. Which this is the chiddush, makes no sense, because I'm a Nivra, and how can I, on my own accord, and this is the chiddush of the Rebbe, that can be done. And this is what we're going to be learning next week. And that's the inyan of above Shlita Sashlita. That is, that has no description to it, you can't explain it. It's just, the only way you identify it, it's a fact of reality. And that's what it is. And that's what we're going into next week.
Last week you mentioned that, the feelings towards the Eibishter is more stronger than the simple understanding.
That is the same. Why did they say that? Because, right. Because this is the whole point.
The whole Hashem, the Hashem is more, how strong the Hashem to you is, like by feelings, not by understanding or both.
Because when you're talking, this is the point. As long as you're talking about, we spoke about the union of Maisa Shemayim Ba'aretz and Maisa Tzaddikim, right?
Right.
The Gilui Likus is, when it's Gilui Likus from the Eibishter created the world, that is a logical conclusion. I see the world, so I come to realize that Eibishter created it. It's logical, but that Gilui Likus is not so strong. When it comes from the fact that you identify with Eibishter, when there's no reason, like we're explaining over here, the Seichel on his own accord comes to identify with the Neshama. Or all the examples we had over here.
Seeing or by what? But also by understanding. It's still Seichel.
No. Because that is the point we're trying to bring out. Now, this is not a Seichel, because, first of all, the Seichel on its, it's not a Seichel, because, let me find the words. Why is it not a Seichel? Because we're talking about a certain situation when, number one, let's say, when everything is coming from above, right?
Right.
Why should I get involved with my own involvement? And remember, it's coming from above. I'm fully aware that it's coming from the Eibishter. And nevertheless, I come to realize everything is Eibishter. I've used my Seichel. I come to realize everything is from the Eibishter. Wonderful. If I come to realize everything is Eibishter. And Edel Mavadei. So why would I at that point start making a Keli when Ein Edel Mavadei and he's providing me with everything? Why would it be making a Keli?
Well, you have to make Keli.
One second. Why, when you make a Keli, one second. Let's have it. When you have in complete betoffen in the Eibishter, pure trust, the Eibishter is going to help me. If I, when I have pure trust in Abish, the Abish is going to help me. And that time I start, and then at the same time, so what is it saying, Terab? When you have this, you're talking to the Abish, you should not make a keli. Why? Because you're going to start making a keli, you're going to be contradicting your trust. You have a pure trust, Abish is helping you, right? You're in a situation, you can't help yourself. So what he says you should do, trust the Abish, will help you. Mm-hmm. So at that point, he says you should not make a keli. What will happen if you make a keli? You're going to damage your trust. You're going to start making a keli. You're going to feel that you're accomplishing yourself. You're not going to be dependent on the Abish. So therefore, when you see that you can't help yourself, you need the Abish's help, have only been talking to the Abish, and don't make a keli. The Rebbe says, I've been talking to the Abish, and do make a keli. That is a contradiction. Because Terab explains this is a contradiction. Why is the Rebbe telling you that you can do both things together? Because the Rebbe is telling you that you, as an independent human being, as a Nivra Mugbul, can on your own accord, at being consciously aware of yourself, consciously functioning, you can fully identify with the Abish. Just like we said, when the person is in front of the king, so normally he would be lost when he's in front of the king. Mm-hmm. Here the Rebbe is telling us, no, when you're in front of the king, you're just able to be fully active to carry out everything what the king says with your fullest skills and everything. Even though you're Flacheda, you're completely lost in front of the king. So here, this thing, what the Rebbe is saying is actually negates logic. Because logic, when you see the other person is so greater than you, you cannot arouse your own feeling to feel your own independence. The fact that Yid can actually do this, this is coming from where? From a koyak, which is above all seichel. It's not even, it's above shlilus ha-shlila, because shlilus ha-shlila makes some sense.
How do I get there? It's not always revealed. No.
So this is the answer to this. This is actually going to be, we should have it further, but the answer is you don't get there by aligning with it logically, because that was the whole point.
Above the
you cannot align with it logically. Here we're talking about the Abish that is above all logic. The only way you align with it, by practically following the program. That means, I'm doing what I have to do. And I'm aware that the Rebbe is telling me today is the time of Nisman and Flores, and therefore, I'll be successful, etc., etc. So I'm doing, working, according to my knowledge, according to my the extent I'm able to, and I'm aware that the Abish is working me, which is going to outdo everything I accomplish. So here I'm arousing my awareness of the Abish, and at the same time fully functioning as a human being. So that is really a contradiction within itself, right? If I'm expecting Nisim and Flores, I should minimize in my work, right? I should draw back. I should be carried away with it's all going to happen. Not. Here the Rebbe says, no, you should be carried away, but you should know you have the fullest responsibility to carry it out.
Well, I'm not carried away because I don't see them.
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm not carried away because I don't see them.
Yeah. Well, one second. Okay. I hear that question. So, by the way, okay, fine. So the point is, work on this area. It's not something that you can sort of work in it, and there, fact of reality will show you that it's true. That is the only way you identify with it. The fact of reality, because it's not something you can logically digest. It's not the fact of you start. Oh, this is we're going to get to it. Eventually, that this the point is that the Rebbe's term. Okay, but this is what it is. The way you identify this is what we're saying. The way you identify it with it is not through logically preaching the Abish, because this doesn't. Logically, you could never come to such a conclusion. It's by actually doing it. We gave the example. It's not Kabbalah Soil, because you're going to be seeing the results, so you're going to be very inspired. So it's not. It's
well, your, maybe later, but the, now I have to do the Kabbalah Soil.
Okay, so your initial movement is but the Kabbalah Soil, remember, you are going there because you're expecting results. Not you're going there like Kabbalah Seil in the old time, when they went to Kabbalah Seil, because you know, like Mesiris Nefesh, here you're going because you really want to build your life. You want to have a happy life, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes a bit of a difference. And to that, the example we gave it last time, when they came across to America, there was no logical expectation for continuation of Torah and Mitzvahs. Right. And nevertheless, the Rebbe came and revived it. So that, and we sort of fully aligned with it. So what's actually happening is we are being affected by Maaseh Tzaddikim, we're going along with it. We feel comfortable with it. We say it's even logical, right? Because our logical identify with it. But really speaking, at that point when we came across, we should have, everything should have dropped. Which that means kolo kolo kitzin. There was no logic, logical perspective. There was no future to Torah mitzvahs. There's no future that Mashiach is going to come, because why there's no future for Mashiach is going to come? Because if he would be coming, he should have already come, because there's no challenges against us. It all depends on us. So our identification going along with the program, Mashiach is going to come, is all red. It's all above. It's above logic. That's above shlilus shlilus. That is what the etzem is. Abish is affecting our bechira. The Abish is affecting our bechira. That if Tichat Teirus Sefer Yisrael lasts. The promise of the Torah that we're going to always remain with Torah, and we one day do tshuva. That is affecting us. It means going through the Rebbe, that is keeping us going. That is more than I said.
We can forward the next one.
Okay, so this is. I just want to get clear the terms of the above shlilus shlilus, what right. It means. Because what it spoke, okay, these are two madrigas which we always discuss, shlilus shlilus, shlilus shlilus. This above shlilus shlilus has no description with it. It's just a fact of reality which is happening in our generation. Which is, in other words, the Rebbe is actually pushing Torah mitzvahs on us and getting us involved with Mashiach. That is already has no description. It's a fact of reality, and it's working, and it's going to happen. And so that's how we identify with Abishai, as he's above any hasagah.
We'll
okay.
We'll work on it.
Okay. I thank you to you.